Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Jimmy of House Nuts. Almost said nut of House Nuts. I'm over here looking at my rankings, making sure because they're tight. Because we got more rankings to do today. We got another top five coming at you, and it's a spicy one.
Well, speaking of nuts, let me tell you, this one was hard. Okay, yes. So this ranking was actually more difficult than the episodes which we did. So this is our top five favorite characters. So top five favorite characters, or maybe top five what we consider to be the best performances.
Yes,
I think is sort of another way to view it, because if it was just my top five favorite characters, there wouldn't be a single green on this list. But you know, so it's going to be top five performances. Now we're going to be separating. There's, you know, a lot of different age groups as well. So again, I don't know, just like last week, I don't know what Jimmy has. He doesn't know what I have. And then we'll also do our worst character. And man, we're going to do some honorable mentions too, because this was tough, because some characters who I really thought, you know, man, in trying to view this without sort of recency bias, you know, it's been a while since we saw some of these characters because of the age jumps and, you know, jumping up. And then some of these characters is like, man, can I actually put this person on the list when they're only in it for like maybe three episodes? Because episode 9 was pretty much an all green episode. And then episode 10 was pretty much an all black episode. So even some of the older actresses were only in like three episodes. So that also made it kind of difficult. So I'm number six, you know, we'll get to it because it might be on your list. So we'll do some honorable mentions at the end. But man, I just feel so bad for my number six because they're only in a few episodes, but their performance was so strong. I was like, this might have to make my top five, but I just couldn't do it. So
yeah, I was actually going to ask if we could do some honorable mentions, because there's two that I really wanted to put, maybe even three actually, that I wanted to put on my list that did not make it.
I know. I have one that I'm looking at. I'm like, how is this character not on my list at all? And I'm just like, it's just so tough when you're only doing five characters, and I'm trying to not be, you know, black biased.
Yes.
Right. You know, so I got to have, I was like, the greens, even if I don't like them, right, then they're going to be on my list. So Jimmy, I'll let you go first. And same thing as last time, if we have some of these, but they might be higher or lower, you know, we can hold off until we get to the other person's list, but I'll let you go first. Who's your number five?
My number five, and this is maybe a spicy one here, is young Eamon.
Oh, okay.
Because I think the episode where Eamon claims Vhagar is so good. And I also loved his performance in that scene, not just riding Vhagar, but coming back, having the fight with the strong boys. I mean, Rhaenyra's children. And, you know, and also the performance after the big family drama and the fallout, and it's okay because I lost an eye, but we gained the dragon. I was so impressed with this actor in general as I watched the episode, but then watching the behind the scenes, and I actually saw the actor sitting in a chair talking, and he acts nothing like Eamon. Like, I kind of figure like that's just how the actor portrays himself, yeah, but even sounded different. And
Leo Ashton is his name.
He did a fantastic job. And I know a lot of people are like, well, it's acting, Jimmy. I know, but I was just, you know, kid actors can be hit or miss, or sometimes, you know, they're kind of one note. I just think that this kid did a fantastic job of getting over the character of Eamon. And then when the time jump happened, and I also like that actor, you know, he was set up with success, I think, from that episode. So I'm actually going to pick young Eamon, who I think only shows up in what, one episode? Two?
Two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two.
So yeah, not much as far as you know, multiple episodes go, but really impactful for me. So I wanted to squeeze this one in here because I just thought it was tremendous and really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Not on my list, but I will say, one of the other things I think we should talk about when we talk about these younger actors and actresses, I mean, he's 14, right? So it's not like, you know, Millie Alcock and Emily Carey, who plays the younger Alicent, right? They're both like 18 or 19. So, you know, that's huge for kids when you talk about that. And then sometimes you think about like children actors, or, you know, even teenage actors, there's like a big difference between being in stuff, you know, which a lot of times they get cast for, like, just think of stuff like, you know, Disney Channel, you know, sitcoms, stuff like that, and Game of Thrones. I mean, Game of Thrones is like the most adult drama show you can possibly find. So to have that type of performance that comes out, that's, you know, like, it feels like it goes so in line with these other characters. I mean, it's like, it goes in line. It's like we can cut from a scene of Matt Smith's Daemon Targaryen to this, what's his, Leo Ashton as young Aemon, and it's a flawless transition. I mean, see, like, that's the degree of difficulty is higher, right? Yeah. And so to have that performance shine through, absolutely.
Yeah, like I said, it was also hard not to, because I'll be honest, older Aemon did not make my list.
You know, I'll go ahead and say it, man. He is my number six, and I feel so bad. He almost made my list. It's between him and my number five, who I'll get to here in a second. He almost knocked him off, just because even though he's only in three episodes, his performance is so good that he just steals every single second he is on screen. And I 100% think that next season he will be like the guy.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's hard not to put him on the list. It's hard.
Right.
It's hard.
But it's only three episodes, and there was 10 episodes. So, you know, you got to go back.
You got room to grow.
What episodes 1 through 5, man? You know, you got to get some of those people in there too. So, okay. Yeah. All right. My number five, and I always cannot pronounce this guy's name correctly. Rice Iffens, is that how you pronounce it? Anyway, he's Otto Hightower, right? Who's an actor who you kind of forget actually like what he's been in. He was in Spider-Man, the Andrew Garfield ones, he's in Little Nicky. He's in The Replacements. I mean, that's true. Yeah. But the reason I chose him was, again, he's in the whole season, essentially. I mean, he's kind of scattered throughout, but he's start to finish. And it's one of these things where it's last week when we did our favorite episodes, I picked, you know, some of these episodes where the greens are winning, because you need that. You have to have that back and forth drama. And his Hand of the King is so different than, say, like Charles Dance's Tywin Lannister, right? Or Tywin, you're almost rooting for at some points, you know, even though Lannisters are supposed to be the bad guys, but you still find yourself rooting for him because he's just so good. Here, I don't find myself rooting for Otto Hightower at any moment in time, which means he's a great villain. And he's a really, really good, it's a really good performance, because if he's causing me to really hate them, one of the things you view in villains is, I think there's a couple different ways to go, right? There's like the monstrous villains. Sometimes it is a monster, you know, depending on what you're watching. Like the Night King is a monster. You're scared of them, right? Then you have those like just ultra evil characters, like a Joffrey or a Ramsay. And I use this analogy a lot when talking about Harry Potter, when I talk about the villain that is, I think, the best cast, best sort of done villain in Harry Potter is Dolores Umbridge. Why? Because she is actually like priestly, right? Every minute she's on screen or you're reading the book, you absolutely hate them because they come across as sort of like so clean, so pious, right? That it feels like they can't actually do anything wrong, but you just want them to because you hate them so. And that's like what Otto Hightower is he always feels like he's doing the right thing, right? And it's just like, God, you just hate those people. And that means his performance is great.
Yeah, and also just using people to whatever logical ends that he sees fit when not really thinking about the impact, like sending Allison to Viserys and things like that and telling her to wear her dead mother's dress. I mean, he's a calculated guy, you know, and very hateable. Very hateable.
Yeah. And like when he shows up in the final episode and he's standing across from Dave and he's presenting terms, you're just like, God, I just hate this guy. Which means his performance, so good.
Yeah, so good. I would agree with that.
Okay, did you have him on your list? I guess I shouldn't have jumped way ahead because
Nope.
He's okay. He's okay, that's fine. Okay, perfect. He is not on your list. Okay, So what is your number four, Jimmy?
My number four is Rhaenys Targaryen, which is played, I believe, by Eve Best. Hopefully I'm getting the name right. Yeah, so I thought the Rhaenys character went through a ton this season, clearly. Also was there for the majority of the season and a lot of the episodes in the credits. And yeah, I just thought that with saying very little, she was able to relay a lot of information and plays a very key role, not just in the show, but in Targaryen history. And also giving us insights to Corlys and how that and how their relationship developed and how, you know, they see this opportunity to get to the Iron Throne and, you know, a little bit of their ambition as well. So I thought that she had a full array of emotions throughout the season and also had some of my favorite lines for sure. You know, I don't think the stranger cares whether my eyes are open or not. And I just think that her grief in the episode where she believes that Laenor has been murdered is like visceral. In her reaction. And I thought that, you know, that's a scene that, you know, she could, it came across as like, okay, Laenor's dead, but like, I felt her loss in that moment. And yeah, I thought Rhaenys Targaryen was an outstanding performance.
Yeah. Did not make my list, but I would definitely 100% agree. And I think it's also cool because I've said this before, is that Game of Thrones, you have like 6 or 7 different points of views. Right. Mm-hmm. In the show, right? You got Dothrakis over here, you got Jon at the Wall, then you got all the different houses doing what they're doing. So you jump around a lot. Here, it's much more straightforward. So you really need that sort of third outlier party, which in a lot of cases was really like Daemon kind of doing his thing. Mm-hmm. And then you had the Valyrians, and of course, and then Rhaenys Targaryen as well. So I 100% agree. And she was in a lot of the season, or she was in a lot of the episodes. There's no actress change, whatever. But I do also feel like she really portrayed this like Targaryen. Like if you read the books, right, and you read the histories about the like Targaryens and, you know, just their personalities and everything, because we don't really see that many in Game of Thrones, right? You get a little bit of Viserys and then Daenerys and then, you know, Jon, but we don't really get any. So it came across as so well this season.
You're forgetting a Targaryen up at the wall.
Well, I said Jon. Oh, Maester Aemon. Yes,
Maester Aemon. Yeah. I forgot too.
Well, and I guess Bloodraven. But they don't ever confirm.
That's not show canon.
In the show, yeah. Okay. All right. My number four. You might have her on your list. I have Olivia Cooke, Alicent.
I do not.
Whoa,
I don't have a single Alicent on my list. In fact,
yeah, I will say, the reason I chose obviously the older actress here is we said this throughout. Not that Emily Carey did a bad job as Alicent, but she was just sort of a background character for her episodes. When she did have moments to shine, I thought she did it very well. Mm-hmm. But Olivia Cooke was really able to portray her character. That character Alicent much more, and she was given a lot more time to shine in the episodes she had. I really like the direction they're going with the character, which in the books we've said she comes across as this like totally evil, manipulative person, but here I like that it's a little different to where they're at least making it seem like she's not this totally evil, manipulative person. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of these things, she genuinely feels like she's trying to do the right thing, right? Except at one point she tells Aegon, one day you're going to be king. And then she's really surprised when there was a plot that went on for like a decade to put him on the throne. So I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, honestly, Carrie's performance was very, very good. And like you said, kind of sparing leading up, and except for the smaller parts. But really, her best part was her last episode, whenever she comes into the wedding feast, right? And she's wearing green, and that those moments were huge. So I almost felt like we didn't get to see the best of that performance. Then Olivia Cooke comes in pretty seamlessly and takes over to the point where my wife didn't even realize that there was a switch in actresses.
Right.
She was like, I did not even realize, because Rhaenyra is a little more obvious, I think.
Right.
But yeah, Alicent was a smooth transition for sure.
Yeah. And I just really felt like she had a huge performance. And even though she was only in the show for 4 episodes because she wasn't in the final episode, I felt like it really all of those performances were just so important and powerful in building that character. So
yeah,
okay. Your number 3, Jimmy.
My number 3 is older Rhaenyra, played by Emma D'Arcy. So the opening shot of Emma D'Arcy walking from childbirth to go confront Alicent, immediately solidified that scene was shot in a way, you know, it was a one-shotter all the way up the stairs and people like rumbling around her, Laenor at the side, and you start to piece together things about Laenor and Rhaenyra's relationship just by that walk. 10 years goes by and they start filling those gaps from the outset of the episode. And I think it's only possible because you have such a strong performance from Emma D'Arcy. And then the final shot of the season being Emma D'Arcy's face, I thought it was epic. I really loved it. I felt like I could like see the melancholy developing as these burdens lay, you know, thicker and thicker on Rhaenyra. And that just isn't a testament to Emma D'Arcy's performance.
Yeah. So actually my number 3 is Millie Alcock as young.
Oh, here Rhaenyra. We go.
Yes, young Rhaenyra. And we ran a poll and we got 20,000 votes. And again, guys, we only have 5,000 subscribers. So if you guys are on these polls where we're getting 10, you know, 4 times the amount of subscribers, if you guys could just click that subscribe button, we'd really appreciate it. But, it ended up being 58% to 42% as to who, I guess, which performance you like. But all the comments are like, we love both. And I love both. And actually, older Rhaenyra is not on my list. So I guess there is a chance that young Rhaenyra could be on Jimmy's list. But I don't think so, because I think we probably have the same number 1 and number 2.
Yeah.
But but I guess for me, I guess the reason I sort of thought that young Rhaenyra's performance was so good was, one, she got to be in 5 episodes as opposed to 4. Emma D'Arcy, who was only in 4. Also, because I felt like, you know, really the first half they focus a lot on Rhaenyra, and the second half you get a lot of focus on Alicent, and so I felt like that kind of shifted, as well as now you have the younger kids and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting, really. It's almost like, even though Emma D'Arcy's role was more prevalent than, say, Emily Carey as young Alicent, I felt like maybe that kind of flipped where she came in and stuff like that. But I feel like younger Rhaenyra was like the like sole focus of those first 5 episodes.
Yeah, she was definitely the focal point for sure.
Yeah. And then I just thought all of her, she just had so many, Millie Alcock as young Rhaenyra, she had so many just powerful, like amazing, just absolutely amazing shots and scenes that were just so good. Like the White Stag, I mean, the Song of Ice and Fire, right? Flying in on that first dragon, even when she's like laying in the woods, or when she says your princess demands you play again. Like, there was just so many absolutely epic scenes from her. I mean, they were both fantastic, but if I had to pick one, that is the route I'm going.
I think you're just playing to the fans. You know, we run these community polls, and I think that you're just trying to go with the popular opinion. And it's disgusting. Quite frankly, it's disgusting. All right. They were both great. Millie Alcock did not make my top 5.
Yeah, that's okay. This was tough.
It was so tough.
Right, because I almost wanted to put Ewan Mitchell's Aemon above Emma D'Arcy. But I feel like next season Emma D'Arcy is going to be like the character.
Oh yeah,
for sure. Of the whole thing. I mean, I feel like this year, I don't know. I feel like maybe we haven't got there yet, but I feel like our 1 and 2 is either, I know it's the same characters, but I don't know if it's going to be flipped or not. So
it better not be flipped. That's all I'm going to say.
So I think so. Okay, so who is your number 2?
How about this? What if we both say our number 2 at the same time?
Okay.
On 3, okay?
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Damon.
Paddy Considine. Dang you!
How dare you? I can't believe that you would come in here with this blasphemy, this treason. That's fine.
So now what we can do is we can say both of our number two, our two and our one. So I have Damon, Matt Smith at one. Jimmy has him at two. I have Viserys at two, and you have Viserys at one. So
I thought we were friends. I didn't know you were. This is treason.
I mean, here's my difference on it, and then you can explain. Obviously, I think, you know, because the Emmys are won on sort of like single episode performances, typically, Paddy Considine's going to win an Emmy, and it's going to be for episode 8, hands down. I don't think there's any question to that. But if I had to pick start to finish for the whole season, I would say that Matt Smith's Damon was the most constant like character that I feel like everybody was there for. And I felt like, you know, it's like Paddy Considine had a couple episodes where his character was kind of taking a back seat. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he was great for everything he was in. And then obviously he was like spectacular all time of Game of Thrones, great in that one episode. But if I really have to sort of pick like who was the best throughout the whole season, MVP, I mean, it's Damon.
I do agree with you. I think Damon took command of almost every scene he was in, even whenever he was like leaning against a pillar in the background, it would cut to his face and he'd like smirk. Like he just has a command over the scene. I think Viserys actually enhances a lot of scenes that he's in without being like overt about it. And Paddy's just a fantastic actor that took this role and ran with it. For me, I knew Damon was going to be an awesome character. I knew that in the books that it was George's favorite Targaryen. And I had pretty good confidence that Matt Smith was going to do a good job after seeing him in The Crown. So I think expectations played a little bit into this. But for Paddy to come in and then take a character that is relatively 2D in the book and very right. passive, which Viserys is kind of a passive king, which is why a lot of people criticize him, right? To take that and then to make it a compelling performance beyond that, honestly, making it a phenomenal performance is just an accomplishment as an actor. So for me, it's like Viserys exceeded all expectations in character, in performance, in casting. Like, right. It really just came through for me as a surprise. And I think if you took Viserys out of this season, the show would still be good, but I think it would be losing a lot of its soul. Right. And we felt his loss. We lost a lot of people this season, but when we lost Viserys, it was tough. It was tough to come back the next week knowing he wasn't going to be there.
For George to say that it was like way better than he ever wrote the character in the book. I mean, that's
For the, you know, a lot of people wondered if House of the Dragon was a show that should have been made. People were wondering, you know, are we going to the well one too many times? Yada, yada, yada. But like Viserys's performance alone will always be remembered as like a great reason this existed. Like just to see Paddy play Viserys was enough. Like the next three seasons could be, you know, up and down, da 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 da. But we will talk about Viserys's performance forever, I think.
You know, it's so interesting because Viserys's performance it also sort of mirrors Robert Baratheon, right? Mark Addy's performance in season one. We're just like, man, I just want to hang out with this guy. Right?
I wanted more. You know, like, I wish we would have gotten more.
Yeah. I know you just absolutely wish you would have gotten more. But I guess for me, the way I chose Damon is one, you know, just kind of like how I talked about, I was so pleased with episode one and episode one, I had it ranked so high and I had it in my favorite scenes was because I felt like, you know, there was so much hanging on this show to be a success. Right. And I think we sort of knew going into it, like the main star of this show, with all the star power leading into the show was Matt Smith. He was the one that I was like, especially because American audiences just aren't as familiar with Matt Smith. Obviously in England, huge because he was Doctor Who and then he was in The Crown, which has done well in the United States, but it's not like a mega hit like Doctor Who is in England. And that's like Superman for them over there. But Game of Thrones over here is like, I mean, it's like top tier of all of television. And so for him to come in, you know, also considering his other big performance this year was Morbius, which is like, you know, like worst comic book movie ever. I thought it was huge because there was so much writing on this show, and I felt like he delivered in every single moment he was in. Did he have a single moment as big or epic as Patty Considine's, you know, episode 8? No, that's
Walk to the Throne,
right? That is like pinnacle Game of Thrones moment. I mean, if we could do it, because because you and I haven't really talked about like the whole both House of Dragon and Game of Thrones, like what's our top 10 favorite episodes like total ever, which we could do at some point. Yeah, I mean, that performance, that moment for me is probably in a top 5 of all of Game of Thrones moment for me.
Yeah,
but I still, if I have to look at the whole season, I gotta go with Matt Smith's Daemon. There's just, when he cuts Vaemond in half, the crab feeder episode.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't as cool as the books, when he brings the Stepstone's crown in, was super cool. I like that we actually got some moments of him where you're actually like, man, Daemon is at, like, he is a complex character, right? When he's, mm-hmm. seems like he actually, well, he, you know, did not like his first wife. Seemed like he actually cared for Lena Valerian, right? And you got to see that those moments there, and he just had a lot of like moments where it's like, wow, he is the rogue prince, right? Like when he goes to Dragonstone and he's staring down Otto Hightower, and then at the end when he's staring him down again, he was very good consistently throughout.
Yeah, and it's not a surprise our top two, you know, Daemon and Viserys, anytime that they were in a duo of a scene, it was always just incredible to watch. And the first episode, you know, Air for a Day, I honestly probably could have made our top 5 moments. It didn't, but it could have. And you just remember the subtle acting from Patty gripping the sword while he's talking.
There's also just so many moments where something will be said and it cuts to Daemon's face and he's like, laughing or smirking. Yeah. And it's just like, oh my god,
he provided like some comedic relief for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, we were obviously really our top two we agreed on, just but we're in different spots. So I think we are both in agreement on worst character.
Yeah, which is a shame because I don't think that this actress is bad. I think it's not really her fault, but it's Missaria, right. and specifically the accent and the way the character is portrayed is, it's not working for me.
Yeah, and I think it's also for me, it's also the fact that we only got her in like 2 episodes, and then it felt like a really long time. And then the scene where she's talking with, and we said this during our favorite episodes and moments and things like that, the scene where she's talking with Otto, it feels like she should have more power, right? I kind of described it as you go back to the scene where Cersei is talking to Baelish about power, right? Like, mm-hmm. power is power. But at that point, we had seen Baelish do a lot of crazy stuff, and we'd seen him make a lot of big moves. Here he's overreaching, but at that moment in time, we had seen him, you know, get Ned Stark and, you know, do a lot of political maneuvering. So it felt like he was a legitimate threat. When Missaria does it, it's like we have no reason to believe that she's important whatsoever, right? She's like,
yeah,
a whore with Daemon in the first episode. She's upset with Daemon in the second episode. Then we don't see her again.
Yeah, I think we see her actually at the tail end of the dinner scene. And then we end up seeing her the next episode, like for a significant amount of time with actual dialogue. And again, the actress, even character, like I think Missaria has some cool stuff coming. And could be really awesome. One of the problems is going to be having to listen to that dreadful accent every time. You know, I don't think Shay from Game of Thrones was necessarily the best accent either, but it was far superior to what we're getting here. So I hope that changes, but that is probably my least.
And that's all right. That's it's also because I know some people have been like criticizing it online. Like, that is not how the actress speaks. That is a directing choice.
And she's done very well in other roles. Cause I went and started looking up clips, like just making sure. I did the same thing with Galadriel in Rings of Power.
I did too.
Because Galadriel in Rings of Power, I cannot stand to watch. And I was like, is it the actress? Nope. Sure was.
Right.
So
yeah. What's her name?
Galadriel.
No, I'll look it up here, but I know I did the same thing too, because I was watching Rings of Power, watching the first few episodes. I was like, is this just how she is? And then I went and looked up clips. I was like, no, that's, it's totally a directing.
It's a direction thing. Like, so I think it's in case from Missaria. Yeah. Honorable mentions. I got to know. You can only pick three. Let's just say three honorable mentions.
Okay.
A little spiel about why they should have made the list and they didn't. I'll go first and say Lena Valerian was so close to making my list because her death scene impacted me greatly. I've went over the fact that I said that the end of that episode was too rushed, specifically her scene, but her performance, regardless of all the external factors of the episode, I thought just did a fantastic job. I think those moments with Damon on Dragonback and then the conversation that she has with him that episode are actually integral to making Damon a more rounded character and gives a lot more insight to him, and just really nailed that role and was only around for really an episode. And it's kind of a shame, but Lena Valerian probably should have made my my list.
Yeah, my number six, I said it earlier, would be Ewan Mitchell's older Aemond Aemon Targaryen. I would not be shocked at all if he doesn't win an Emmy next year or next season, you know, it would be 2025 if we get the show in 2024. When he wins it. But I mean, he clearly, it's like, I don't know this actor from anything, but like, there are so many things I want to see him now. I mean, first of all, Netflix, have him play The Witcher, because I'd watch that. I mean, he seems way more believable as The Witcher than Liam Hemsworth, not Chris Hemsworth, right? Liam Hemsworth. Crikey, Yennefer. I mean, my God. It's good. I'm not looking forward to it. But yeah, I mean, even though he's only in those few scenes, but it's like, especially episode 8, right? He's just staring at people, and you're just like, this dude is about to go off, and it is like so unhinged, and you're just like, he's like a ticking time bomb, waiting to go. And it's so powerful and so believable.
I mean, Matt, he had Daemon Targaryen shook.
I know. So ridiculous. So yeah, so I would obviously have to have him as an honorable mention.
My number two honorable mention, I guess I'll only list three, but number two would be Corlys Velaryon, which is Steve Toussaint. I really wanted to put him on here, but I thought Rhaenys actually did more for that character than he did for himself, actually, even though him coming back from his fever and walking in and being like, where's Damon? And then delivering the fact that he can bring his fleet and, you know, really good acting, but also impactful. And, Steve Toussaint definitely deserves a,
especially because the reason I really wanted to put him on my list, but not only, you know, some of these actors I think benefit. So say like Aemond, Ewan Mitchell's Aemond benefits from not just being in three episodes towards the end, but like really being in them fully. See, Trusant's character of Corlys, you know, going into the show, I was like, I'm actually excited for it. And I know, you know, some people were like, I don't want Black Valyrians because it's not booked. And I'm like, dude, first of all, I don't care as long as it's good. And second of all, he's an amazing actor. So I'm down for it because I want it to be the best acting possible. And it ended up working out incredibly well because the whole plot is about they don't look like us. So it
ended up
working. Right. It was perfect. And George Martin said, let's do it. So I'm there. He was in a lot of episodes, but he was only in episodes for a handful of minutes. So it was hard for me to kind of put him on the list just because it was like, he was impactful, but he was impactful like very sporadically. Whereas I feel like it'd be better to be in like one full episode where you're a main focal point.
Yeah. I mean, he is Corlys, right? In my head, like some characters, like even though, Aegon is like acted in, and you know, I thought those performances were great. Like when I read the book, I don't know if I'll picture those Aegons, but I will picture this Corlys when I read Fire and Blood again and any kind of histories. And also, there's some really cool stuff that Corlys is going to be a part of in the future. Mm-hmm. And I think that this role has a very high ceiling. So I'll be excited to see where Steve Toussaint takes it and see what he can deliver.
Yeah. So obviously I could pick like Emma D'Arcy because, you know, she didn't make my list, but we did talk about We did talk about them, the young and the different versions. Same with Emily Carey. So I'll pick another person here. I'm going to go with Matthew Needham, who was Laris Strong. Because
Reaper,
he is playing that role very well, and you need that character as one of these, not outside forces. And man, way another performance that is way better than the character in the book.
I mean, he came in, he kicked in the door, and then he jumped 2 feet first into the.
You need it. You need it, man. You need something weird. It's like, what is the deal, right?
He jumped in feet first. That's all I'm saying. I mean, he really nailed the role.
He's in a lot of the episodes.
He sure is. And every time
they cut to him, it's creepy and weird as all get out. But that's good. You need that character.
Kind of has the Ramsay effect in a way. Like when Ramsay was on the screen, you always like had to brace. And like if you're watching with your parents, you're like, maybe I should like pause it and like go somewhere else. You know what I mean? And I feel like when Laris is on the screen, it's a different type of character, but same effect. Anytime he's on the screen, I'm like, this is going to get weird and this is going to get uncomfortable very fast.
Yeah. And he's dangerous. You feel... When he's on the screen, he feels dangerous because he killed his brother and his dad.
Performed kinslaying without even considering it. Just did it.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I'll tell you what the last one I'll mention is anyone who played Aegon, including the little baby in the hunt. I don't care. Anyone that touched the name Aegon as an actor this season absolutely killed it. I think.
Including both babies.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's right. There's two. That's true. So we have four Aegons in this season. Props to all of them, but I really like Tenet's kid. I thought he did a fantastic job and was very detestable immediately for some reason. And then whoever is playing this older Aegon, I don't know their name, but yeah, I mean the coronation scene.
I have the list pulled up here. Tom Glenn Carney.
Yeah, fantastic job.
And I think he's going to be really good going forward.
Yeah.
And actually it's kind of interesting because I said actually in a Twitter post to me, actually, because the way they portray Aegon in the books is actually kind of like a bigger, like more kind of stout guy. But I think I kind of like this. Actually, I almost feel like in a way he would be absolutely perfectly cast for another Game of Thrones Song of Ice and Fire character. He would be the absolute perfect Daemon Blackfyre II.
Okay. I can see that.
The one that's in the Duncan Egg story. I mean, if you look at his description, you look at fan art of it, you look at like sort of the art in the graphic novels and everything, he would be absolutely perfect. Like he almost looks like the art in that graphic novel and all, any of the Duncan Egg artwork for it. He looks just like him. Like, wow, he would be perfect for that role.
Maybe he's got a brother.
Well, he could all, you know, I don't know. Sometimes you play multiple, you know, characters and stuff like that. So absolutely. Yeah. Great. So, okay. So I guess, I'll pick one more here, and I'm going to go with kind of a small character here. And just because it's a total change from the books, but I feel like going forward, it's going to be a big deal. That's Grant McTavish. Okay. So Harald Westerling, you don't get much. But he's kind of that Barristan Selmy role, and they kind of do a different thing. But I think going forward, he's going to be really cool. And he's another sort of big actor that carries some weight. And man, every time he's on the screen, you're paying attention.
Oh, definitely. And he's been cast in other things and is always just a dependable person to have in a cast. So shouts out to him. And I hope he comes and punches Crispy Cole right in the teeth.
Yeah. Okay. There's another one. I think the casting of
Crispy Cole. So hateable. So hateable.
So good. Okay. Any other castings that I know we were talking about? Any other maybe that we didn't like? There weren't really that I honestly thought were bad. I mean, bad or like performances. Ooh. I can't really think of any performance other than Masaria really that I was kind of like
Is maybe because of retrospect, but I think that the child actor that was playing Laenor early.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine, but the older actor for Laenor was far superior. Like
you
really,
the young in like episode one when they're little kids.
Yes, the young.
Or do you mean the one that was in the Stepstones episode as like a
That's teenager. What I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
There was three Laenors.
I'm sorry. Yeah. The second oldest one, it wasn't that he was bad.
He was only there for a little bit. Yeah.
For just a split second. But like, I don't know. It didn't resonate with me. Like, oh, that's Laenor, right. I guess.
You're kind of like, who's that again? Yeah.
Yeah. And then the older Laenor, I mean, I thought he was just fantastic. So I'm nitpicking at this point because we're very fortunate as fans of
that
this
show.
That
it's all amazing.
Right? That, yeah, you know, we're not having to really worry about the writing. We're not having to really worry about the characters and the acting and the cinematography or any of that stuff. We get to kind of pick it apart for being a great show, right? And when you have a great show, you can kind of critique the small things. And that's, man, is that not so much peace of mind after some of the fantasy shows that we've had come down the pipe in the last few years where it's like, well, that whole episode was shot terribly, unfortunately, because of CGI or whatever it might be. We don't have to worry about that with this show. So there's really no bad performances per se, in my opinion. But yeah, what a lucky group of people we are.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for supporting us. For those of you who do that on Patreon, we are going to be having a Patreon hangout come soon. It's going to be the end of the month. I think that Monday, Monday the 29th or something. Mm-hmm. So is it the 29th? The 28th. Yeah. So Monday the 28th. And then we'll find a time once we get closer. I'll post it in Patreon. But stay tuned for all of that. I've been uploading more of some of the old Patreon stuff up to Apple Premium for those of you guys who are over there. So just a lot of cool stuff and so much more House of the Dragon to break down. And then we'll be diving back into the books. We'll be diving back into. And I think Jimmy and I are going to dive through the Rise of the Dragon book.
Yeah. Yeah. We know that, a lot of it is from Fire and Blood and the World of Ice and Fire, but it's something that we can go over and we can talk about the new artwork that's in there and relive some Targaryen history. Sounds fun.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so we'll be doing some of that too. So there's a ton more content coming your guys' way. So as always, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to hit that subscribe button because apparently a lot of you vote on the polls, but you haven't clicked the subscribe button. So really, really appreciate it. So with that, guys, as always, remember that winter is coming.